Mark 6, verse 12. So they went out and preached that people should repent. The message of the 12 was a simple, straightforward message. It was a message that could be understood by all who heard it. They preached that men should repent. That word repent means to change one's mind for better, to heartily amend with abhorrence one's past sins. It refers to a change of mind that leads to a change of action. Not only a change of mind, but a change of action. It literally means to be converted. When genuine repentance takes place, the change in a person's life is radical and powerful. Most of the time, repentance is only preached in its negative sense. People are told that they need to stop doing certain things, and that is true. Repentance is far more, though, than that. It's far more than that you stop doing certain things. Repentance has both a negative aspect and a positive aspect. Repentance looks backwards, but it also looks forward. Repentance says, I will stop doing the things I should not do, and I will begin to do the things I should do. I will stop living a life of sin, and I will start to live a life of holiness. Repentance arises out of a heart that is sorry for the wrongs it is guilty of committing. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 tells us, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. The sorrow that produces a desire to change the way the repentant sinner is living, that is genuine biblical repentance, and it is something that we do not see a lot of in these days. I would venture to say that there's not too many people that even download this message when they see the title repentance. When they see the word repent, repentance is as a curse word today. It is a curse word both in the church and outside the church. But yet the text clearly says, Mark 6, verse 12, the disciples going out. So they went out and preached that people should repent. We hear often about the first century church. Oh, if it could only be like the book of Acts. Well, a good place to start is to preach like they preached in the book of Acts of repentance. There are not many voices calling for repentance in these days. Most people do not like to be told that they are wrong and need to change their lives. I'm here to tell you today that you will never have the blessings of God on your life until you repent of your sins. You will never have assurance of your salvation until you repent of your sins. In fact, if you refuse to repent of your sins, you're probably not saved to begin with. Because one of the characteristics of the new birth is a changed life. There must be a changed life. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 mean then if there is no changed life? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is that characteristic of your life? The Bible says to the one that's regenerated, the one that's converted, the one that's born again, that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not all things have become perfect, but have all things become new? Have you seen a drastic change in your life? If you can live in sin without seeing the need to turn from it and repent, most likely you're not saved by the grace of God. The Bible teaches repentance. It teaches more than the lights of them, raised up your hand, no one's looking, if you want to be saved. Say this prayer and you're saved. Put your hand on the TV screen and you're saved. All this kind of stuff that you hear today. People are showing people that they're saved and they're still on their way to hell. Repent and believe. Repent. Repent of your sin. Repent with the mind that you're going to live a life of repentance. I'm saved for over 30 years. I still repent every day. Every day. I still see how far short I fall of being as Christ, as being Christ-like. The scripture says to love the Lord your God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength. Do you do that? 30 years into this, I don't do that. I don't do that. That means perfectly to love him all mind, all heart, all strength, all soul, every second of every minute of every hour of every day of your life. And not only to love him that way, to love your neighbor that way, and not only your neighbor, but your enemy you to love also. 1 John 3:9 tells us this. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. He does not sin. It's not the practice of his life. It's not his or her lifestyle. It's one of repentance. You hate sin now. You don't want to sin. Is that true of your life? Let me make it to as plain as I possibly can to you. You today. And you may hate me for this, for telling you these things. You may hate me, but I have to be faithful to the word. You may hate me, and you may tend to love me as a result of hearing the truth that somebody finally told you the truth, loved you enough to tell you the truth. Let me make it as plain as I can. The message has not changed. The message has not changed. The Bible doesn't change with, quote unquote, the times. The message is the same today as it was then. The Lord still commands sinners to repent of their sins if they want to be saved from their sins. You must repent. Acts 17, verse 30 tells us this. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. To repent. It's not, well, he's my Savior and he's not my Lord. I'll make him my Lord later on. Basically, I'll repent later on. You repent now, right now. The disciples went out and they commanded people everywhere to repent and to believe. That was the message of Christ. Repent and believe. Most people, like I said, they want a ticket out of hell, but they want to live like the devil all their lives here. The Bible commands us after we're regenerated to be conformed into the image of Christ. Christ, the sinless one. The Holy One. That's what, after you're converted, after you become born again, that is the goal, to become as Christ. Because that's the end of this journey anyway. It says when we die, we will be as Christ. So how in the world can you live your life in sin? You love sin. Sin doesn't bother you. It may be an inconvenience to you. But do you look at sin with a godly sorrow? I'm breaking the Father's heart. I'm breaking God the Father's heart. Do you look at your sin that way? Are you ashamed of your sin? Does it produce godly repentance, your sin? Is there godly repentance over your sin? Is that your goal, to eradicate the sin in your life as much that is possible? But to live a life of repentance. Repentance is an essential, is essential to the Christian life. A person is regenerated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces faith in the life of a person, and that faith produces repentance. Regeneration brings with it faith, and faith produces repentance. It's faith and repentance. They go hand in hand. They're brothers and sisters. They're not separated from each other. You say you have faith? Then repent of your sin. And faith embraces that. Faith will hear that message. Faith will read that in the Bible and say, yes. Yes, I must repent. I must repent of my sin. It's not honoring to God. It's not glorifying to God. Now you hear this way of repentance and you hear about leaving your sin. You'll be, oh, but what about grace? What about? That is grace. That grace to God that's permitting you to hear it. It's the grace of God giving you the power to repent. It's the grace of God that's letting you hear that message. Just the very fact that we rebel against repentance shows you how wicked our sin is. That is bad. It's a bad word. The preacher's trying to hurt me. He's being mean. How could he talk this way? What about the grace of God? What about... For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. For we are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship, and part of the work he does in your life is not only to save you, but to grant you repentance. It says about in the book of Acts that repentance was granted unto Israel. It was granted. Repentance is a gift of God. The disciples, notice what it says in Mark 6, verse 13. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and he healed them. And they healed them. The disciples went out in the power of the Savior, and they saw him move and work in power and glory. Their experience has something to say to us today. God will confirm his work in us and through us in powerful ways. He will manifest his power as he confirms his message. But keep in mind that we will probably not see the same things that these men saw. There's such an emphasis on signs and wonders and gifts and everything today. What the Lord did through those men is known as sign gifts. That is, they were manifestations of his power designed to give validity to his message. That was why there were so many signs and wonders and miracles. Most quote-unquote signs, wonders, and miracles today are performed by charlatans, to fleece the flock of Jesus Christ. Most of signs, wonders, and miracles today are phony. And that day, they would perform to give validity to the message. And that day, people did not have the complete word of God. They needed proof of the message. God proved his message by working wonderful, clear miracles amongst the people. Working powerful miracles amongst the people so the people would believe. Even John the Baptist, when he was questioning, was Jesus Christ the Messiah? Christ sent his disciples back to John, telling them, I'm the one that's healing the sick. I'm the one giving sight to the blind. I'm that one. I'm that promised one that would do these miraculous signs. And when the apostles were first sent out, they were doing signs and wonders. And not saying that the Lord can't heal somebody today, but it's not done by rote on TV with hundreds of people, all these healings and signs and wonders and miracles going on. I'm telling you, the way it is the truth. In our day, we will see the Lord confirm his word by changing lives. The greatest miracle is that, you talk about miracles, people are blind spiritually, and now they see. People are dead in their sins and trespasses, then are raised to life. What is the greater? The physical or the spiritual? Which is the greater? That's a rabbinical technique. You argue from the lesser to the greater. What is greater? That the blind now see physically or spiritually? That somebody is raised from the dead physically or spiritually? Which is the greater of the signs? When the gospel is preached and shared in the power of the Holy Spirit, he'll use the gospel message to draw people to himself. The greatest miracle the Lord can achieve is the salvation of a human soul. It far outweighs healings and the casting out of demons that are not even in the same, they're not even in the same category. When Christ saves a soul, it eclipses his power in creation. In creation, he creates out of nothing. In regeneration, something is created and it's wicked and it's bad and it's dying and it's death, and he takes that and he creates life. He creates saints out of sinners. I thrill when I think of the Lord making everything out of nothing. But to think that he could take a lost, hell-bound sinner and make them into a child of God is marvelous beyond words. That the Lord could take one such as myself, with all the wickedness, all the sin, all the hatred and bitterness, and all the covetousness, and all the sins go from A to Z, and produce godly sorrow in my heart over those things, and give me the power to repent of different sins in my life for over 30 years. And now, 60 years old, still, to wake up and say, Lord, I don't love you today the way that I should. Forgive me, Father. Grant me repentance. Cause me to be more Christ-like to you. Father, that I would love you more, love neighbor more, love friends more, love the enemies more, Father. To take a man that just lived for himself at one time and could care less about everybody else. You would have fit in somewhere on my list. But other than that, it was about me. And now, it's about Christ and people. Well, what causes that change? What causes that change is the gospel. What causes that change is the gospel. That Christ would love the lost and reach out to them in grace is amazing. To think that he would die on a cross to redeem us from our sins is wonderful beyond belief. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6 tells us this. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So I would ask you the question. That is the Messiah, a picture of the Messiah in Isaiah 53. How should you respond to that? Should you insist and bang your fist on the table and say, I still want my will to be done. I still want to live in my sin. I refuse to repent of my sin. Does that not cause godly sorrow about your sin when you read, surely he, Jesus Christ, he bore our griefs. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken. We reckoned him stricken, smitten by God the Father and afflicted, struck down by God the Father. Now you just read that already. How should you respond? Should you rebel against repentance? Or when you read that, should you say, you know, I need to repent of my sin. I need to stop playing games with God. Christ bore my sorrows. We esteemed him stricken. He bore our griefs, and he was smitten by God the Father. God the Father smites his own son, strikes down his own son. And he's wounded for our transgressions. He's pierced through for our transgressions. How should you respond to a Savior that loved you enough to have that done to him? He was bruised for our iniquities. That word bruised means literally crushed. Crushed. He was crushed. His life was crushed out of him. He was crushed. How should you respond to that? Maybe someone right now listening, you're in tears over your sin. The scripture right now is producing godly sorrow in your life and you want to repent. And you've been enslaved to that sin for so long and you're crying out to God even right now. And God will grant you repentance. For the scripture says that you've died to sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. Not simply by faith to walk in that. He was crushed for our iniquity. And by his stripes we're healed. The blows that cut him. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's the condition of humanity, people. We all want our own way. We come out of the womb that way. Just look at a one-year-old child. They want their way. And we live our lives, want our own way. And even when we become Christians, we want our own way. What do you think it means, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done in the Our Father? That's the battle we fight every day. We want our will, and the Father's saying, nah, my will be done. My will be done. And when you read of this glorious Savior, it produces godly sorrow. Repentance doesn't become such a bad word any longer. I remember when I first got saved, I thought repentance was a bad word. I thought it had nothing to do with grace. And in reality, it has everything to do with grace. Because God could have just left me the way I was and never heard of repentance. And I would have been damned and went straight to hell the moment that I died. And in his grace and his mercy, he came and he regenerated me. And he granted me faith. And it produced repentance in my life. And that same faith that he granted me still produces repentance in my life. And the question is today, is that your life? That is the life of a Christian man, woman, boy, or girl. A life of repentance. And you repent because you have been regenerated. You have been born again. You have been made new. And the Holy Spirit, when he regenerates, he grants faith that produces repentance. Is that the kind of faith that you have? If you have it, then hallelujah. If you don't have it, I would beg you to come to Christ today and ask him to grant you new life, regenerate you, grant you faith, and produce a life of repentance.